This is the Telstra AFL Trade Radio Podcast. Subscribe now on iTunes.
You.
Welcome to Time on Trade with Mitch Cleary.
Well, it's starting to heat up now. Day four of this week. The trade period well and truly on. 1300 736 736 to have your say. Grant Birchall, he's walked out on the Hawks. He wants to become a Brisbane Lion next year, chasing his fifth flag. Hawthorn fans, what do you think of it? Finally, the last four-time premiership player is out of that club. He'll play for Brisbane next year, replacing Luke Hodge across that back line. 1300 736 736. Give us your take on that. Orazio Fantasia, all the talk had really been heating up in the last couple of days. He'd appointed a South Australian manager. He looked like all but heading to Port Adelaide, but I think it became all too hard in the end, and he's staying a Bomber, spotted with a few of the Bombers' leadership group members in the last couple of days. So, Orazio Fantasia to stay at Essendon. Bombers fans, what do you make of it? Get involved. 1300 736 736. But the big move that happened today was a pick swap that's going to affect so many clubs. We'll lead with that in our big moments, all thanks to Drinkwise.
Today's big moments for Drinkwise. You won't miss a trade moment if you drink wise.
So the St Kilda Footy Club started the day with pick six, and various reports on afl.com.au today had the Fremantle Footy Club and the Saints meeting yesterday. The Dockers demanding pick six and another first round pick, and maybe something else included in there as well. The Dockers had been wanting that pick six and something else for Bradley Hill. The Saints said, no, we don't want to be doing that right now. Bit of argy-bargy between the Saints and the Dockers. Well, the Saints today have split that pick with the Giants. So 6 and 59 make their way to the Giants. 12 and 18 go back the other way. So the Saints have moved back in this year's draft. They've now got 12 and 18. Dougal Howard, the Power are demanding a first-round pick for him. So it looks like 18 could be on the table for Dougal Howard. That's the pick they're going to have to deal with him if they want that. To get that player in their footy club. But now the Dockers are now in a bit of a precarious position because they knocked back St Kilda's wish for six. The Saints have now gone and split that pick. So St Kilda's first pick as it sits right now is pick 12. Will they accept pick 12 and a first round pick? Maybe. But we can't forget the Saints have got a bit on their plate having to try and deal with Ben King for next year. So it's all happening, and a pick swap today official. Pick 6 and 59 making their way to the Giants. Pick 12 and 18 now with the Saints. And another part of that reasoning for the Giants is they're trying to move up and up the order to try and get ahead of a bid for their academy kid, Tom Green. So we think a bid might come for Tom Green in pick 5 or 6. If the Giants can continue to move up and maybe even look at Adelaide's pick 4 to jump ahead of a bid, they'll be able to go to the draft, get a kid with pick 4, and then match a bid for Tom Green if that comes at, say, 5, 6 or 7. So a few clubs being active, and watch this space on the Giants not being done just yet. We spoke about Grant Birchall officially aligned. We brought that to you on the Trade News Hour earlier in the day with Damien Barrett. Here's his manager, Shane Casley, talking about the prospect of how much footy his client has in his body.
Oh, he does. I think the main thing for him is to make sure that his knee was good, and that felt right, and it certainly did. And then in the interview, he's got a couple of soft tissues, which can happen when you've spent that long out of the game. So, he's very, very confident. He was happy with the footy he played when he got back, and you know, felt like just riding a bike. He's got back out there and it felt all natural and great. So, again, he's confident that he's got some good footy left over the next couple of years.
So a one-year deal for Grant Birchall to go up at the Hawks. We learnt today that the Hawks had a rookie contract on the table for Birchall at the end of the trade period. So it wasn't much of a guarantee by the Hawks, but the Lions have come with a one-year deal. His manager thinks he's got two or three years left in his body. This is what Lions footy boss David Noble had to say about the acquisition today.
I think the need for us really made on that half-back, that bit of run, the ability for, you know, use of the ball. We like the fact that he's a lefty that sort of turns out of there. He can sort of be that long-range player, sort of gives us that short one, continue to run, create that overlap for us. So that was the interest. And look, I think the other thing, if you go back through Birch's history, his ability to step up in big games has been pretty good, you know, over the journey. So we're lucky enough that we fill that need, you know, with a guy that's got a couple of hundred and, or nearly 250 games under his belt.
Grant Birchall off to the Lions as we sit off the top. Orazio Fantasia, so much speculation between his footy club, Essendon and Port Adelaide. Were they going to come with a deal or not between those two clubs? As I understand it, the Port Adelaide Footy Club were pretty keen and were open to trading pick 10 for Orazio Fantasia. It's not happening now. He's staying at Essendon at least for another year. He's got 2 years to run on his contract. I'm not putting a line through his request for a trade next year, but Orazio Fantasia staying as a Bomber. Interesting outcome this morning. Mason Cox, we know that there'd been reports earlier in the week via The Age that Essendon had expressed some interest in Mason Cox. He came out on Twitter saying yesterday it was fake news, while his manager Adam Ramanaskis spoke about it and confirmed that the Bombers and the Pies had had a discussion about him when speaking on RSN this morning.
Well, they had conversations.
But who instigated?
Someone has to say...
I don't know, but it got put to bed very, very quickly.
Well, because the impression that Collingwood's trying to dump him for salary cap relief, and that if I'm Mason Cox, I'm like, oh, hang on, I know it's this time of year, but that's worse than another club asking about me.
Yeah, yeah. I don't. Collingwood at no stage put Mason Cox ever on the table.
Do they have a list squeeze? We'll get to that in just a moment. That was the big trade moments. All thanks to Drinkwise. You won't miss a moment if you drink wise. We'll head now to the Westmix open line, 1300 736 736. It's a different number if you've been calling Trade Radio throughout the day. So there it is again, 1300 736 736. Neil's going to kick us off in Laverton. Wants to chat about the Pies. Neil, good evening.
Today, I was just wondering if Essendon were interested in Brandon Sire, trying to get him over there.
I think he'd be a perfect player for the Essendon Footy Club, Neil, but I'm told today that he has signed a 2-year extension at the Pies. So 2 years for Brandon Sire. It might have been pushed back a little bit with his basketball incident, playing under a fake pseudonym at the local level as fill-in, but he's staying at the Bomber, at the Collingwood Footy Club. So a tick for them. They've got that one over the line. You know, the Pies, there's so much to deal with that footy club. Degoe, Cox and Grundy all out of contract next year. You throw in Darcy Moore and Scott Pendlebury as well. They are going to have a list squeeze on at some point. I want to go back to a piece of audio yesterday. Alex McDonald, he's the manager of Tom Phillips. This is him talking about his client and whether there's going to be some sort of fallout with Collingwood having to re-sign a lot of these players.
Some media speculation. Some people have made some recent inquiries to me, but I need to get to the bottom of that. It happens at this time of the year. Yeah. He's happily contracted for the next 2 years. Pretty important part. I think he finished seventh in their best and fairest.
He's a gun.
So I don't see any change there, but who knows? Like, I'd imagine Collingwood have their hands full, fitting everyone in with three big players out of contract next year.
Grundy, Degoe, Moore.
Yep. Well said. So I'll speak to Tommy's overseas at the moment, but and speak to the club more importantly and find out where they're at.
Interesting. See where they're at. Tommy's overseas at the moment. I can't see anything happening just yet, but he didn't put a line through it. Alex McDonald, of course, of Hemisphere Management. Pies fans, what do you think? 1300 736 736. Would you consider one of those players? Matt Schoenberg's name has come up. The Age reporting today that he is potentially open to a move if that was to be raised. Who would the player you would like to see or be open to leaving this footy club? Because they've re-signed Jamie Elliott at the start of the week, 2-year deal for him. They're going to have to lose someone to squeeze all of these guys in. Who should it be? 1300 736 736. Get involved on the Westmix open line. Head to Bacchus Marsh next. Mark's joined us. Good evening, Mark.
G'day, mate. How are you?
I'm going well, thank you.
Mate, dead set. I'm doing the St Kilda recruiting squad team a favour here.
You've already got commitments. You've already got commitments from four players. Who else are you going after?
Mate, I'm doing them a favour. I'm saving them some coin and getting them a better player than what they're looking at and so on. And you know what? North Melbourne recruiting team, listen up, because you're looking for an outside runner as well. Look, St Kilda are looking at Brad Hill. The problem is they're looking at the wrong Hill. They got it right with B Hill. But they want to be looking at Bobby Hill from GWS. Bobby Hill played in the prelim final. He was dropped for the grand final for Whitfield. Mm-hmm. That kid in the prelim against Collingwood, he did some unbelievable things. He hit Jeremy Cameron with a pass like silk. That kid, outside run, is unbelievable. He is who other clubs should be targeting. Teams should be lining up and saying to GWS, we need an outside runner. What do you want for Bobby Hill?
First-year player, Bobby Hill. I didn't think his prelim was that special. I thought he fumbled a bit and had a few moments he'd like to forget. But when you're playing a preliminary final in your first year, Mark, it shows that you can play footy. I agree, he's a quality player, Bobby Hill. He's re-signed an extension at the Giants, so he's not going anywhere as I see it just yet. I was staggered last year when the Dockers decided to pass on Bobby Hill. They went for a player in Sam Sturt. He's had a few injury troubles this year, seen as a longer-term prospect as a third sort of tall forward. But I thought the Dockers were going to go after Bobby Hill last year. Obviously, Stephen and Bradley are his relations there. They're at the Dockers as well. So I'm seeing him staying at the Giants right now. He's got a bit to prove at the level, but I like your thinking. Thanks, Mark. Jade's next in Swan Hill. We're heading all across regional Victoria. Jade?
G'day, Mitch. How you going?
I'm well, thanks.
I know that once players seem to nominate teams, they tend to get there. But with three deals still sitting there for the Blues for players who have nominated to come back, if any of those are going to fall through, or if not any of them you see falling through, which outstanding deals or trades that are on the table do you see falling through?
Of all the deals that Carlton have lined up right now, if I was to say one to fall through, it would be Tom Papley. So I think Martin happens, Betts happens. We're still trying to work out the interest in Dan Butler, whether it's real or not. The Blues, I think, are trying to work that out themselves. But if I was to say one deal that would fall over, it would be Sydney holding Papley to his deal, provided they get a really good compensation back. So Damien Barrett today speaking about pick 9. I'm still yet to learn whether the Swans will accept that. He's a contracted player, got 3 years to run. I think that's more than fair for Tom Papley, but the Swans may see it differently. So I think Papley's one that could take its time through the period, but he does have intentions to get back to the Blues. Thanks for your call, Jade. Box Hill next. We find James. Far away, James.
Yeah, Mitch. Just an observation, I guess. Fremantle and Peter Bell. Peter Bell stepped in his role late last year and managed the Jesse Hogan negotiation.
It's been a busy man, Peter.
He came in and there's a lot of froth and bubble from Peter Bell. A lot of posturing, a lot of tough talk. He's obviously hard to negotiate, but he seems like he's overplaying his hand a bit across the board. I mean, St Kilda have walked in on negotiations. He was having tantrums with Melbourne last year. They still haven't got a Langdon deal done, which I thought would be a fairly simple deal. Melbourne's future second and maybe a little something else back to the Dockers.
On that deal you say is simple, I can see why Fremantle are digging their heels on Ed Langdon. So Callum Toomey from AFL.com.au this week reported that the haggling between Ed Langdon is the Dockers want Melbourne's second-round pick this year. Melbourne want to move on the future second. Obviously, the Demons, shocking season this year, so that second-round pick this season is far more appealing to Fremantle than their future pick. They could quite easily make the 8 next year for Melbourne, so that's going to be diluted in an already compromised draft. So if I'm Fremantle, I'm absolutely digging my heels in on a player who's been top 5 in my BNF the last 2 seasons, Ed Langdon, and I'm asking for that pick. I'm just digging it up now. It's in the early 20s for Ed Langdon, so I can see why. You had another point?
Oh, no, look, it was just, it seems as though he's overplaying his hand on a few points. It's just on the Langdon deal. Yeah, look, I can see what you're saying, but that's a pretty prized pick at the start of the second round, and one that Melbourne should be, if they're going to give that pick up, well, Fremantle will be giving something back, surely, I would have thought. But
pick 22 is about right for Ed Langdon. I think the money is between $500,000 to $600,000, and I know he's out of contract, so he'll be able to walk one way or another, but 22 feels about right for an outside player they're going to give a long-term deal to, so I reckon 22 is about right.
I'd be walking into the preseason draft, I reckon.
All right, James, thanks for your call. Sam's next in Malvern, wants to chat about Jeremy Cameron. Sam? We've got Sam there.
Hi there.
G'day, Sam.
Just wondering if you have any word on Jeremy Cameron. I saw his comment on Instagram and he's yet to re-sign. What are you thinking?
Very smart from Jeremy Cameron. So those that haven't caught up with it, I think there was a post the AFL put up yesterday on Instagram. It was about Adam Tomlinson leaving the Giants. Jeremy Cameron went with the crying emojis. Tomlinson said something back, and then I think a punter got involved and said, Jeremy, why don't you come back to Melbourne? And Jeremy responded saying, I'm thinking about it. That's all tongue-in-cheek from Jeremy Cameron. I don't think he's going anywhere this season. Here's his manager, Alex McDonald, speaking with the boys yesterday here on Telstra Trade Radio.
The most important part for Jeremy is getting the decision right. And if it means that he has to sort of wade through some speculation and some intense focus on what his future looks like, off the back of the year this year, you know, making a grand final, I think he's pretty buoyed about what 2020 holds for the Giants.
So you think, Alex, that Jeremy will go through the majority of 2020 with that speculation?
Possibly, yeah. I can't speak for Jeremy. I know at the moment he's away in Bali, enjoying what's been a great year for the club.
Great year.
And he had a great year himself.
Yep.
And I think, you know, our last discussion was, let's focus on that, you know, early next year. We'll have some discussions, but, yeah, he's really settled at the Giants.
Jeremy Cameron not going anywhere this season as it sits. 1300 736 736 to get involved on the open line for Westmix. We'll take a break. Matt, hold the line. I want to talk about Sam Jacobs with you after the break. Plus, we'll bring you the latest on Jack Stephen. You're with Mitch Cleary on Time on Trade here on Telstra Trade Radio.
You're listening to Time on Trade.
You don't know.
You're listening to Time on Trade with Mitch Cleary. A trade news update for Beaumont Tiles. During Beaumont's mega floor clearance, it's goodbye ugly.
A few of the dominoes have started to fall on day four of the Telstra trade period. After all the talk, Orazio Fantasia is staying a Bomber. Get involved, Bombers fans. What do you make of it? 1300 736 736. Grant Birchall, he's left the Hawks. He's moving to the Lions to chase his fifth AFL premiership. He has accepted a one-year deal today. So he moves as a free agent. We'll get to some more free agents in just a moment. The free agency period has closed today at 5 p.m. Melbourne time. So a few guys still on the shelf. We'll talk about a couple of those as the program unfolds. Port Adelaide, they've announced a couple of delistings this afternoon. Matt Broadbent, been a long servant across halfback for that footy club. He's been cut along with Aiden Johnson, 21-year-old Aiden Johnson. Played 11 games, taken back in the 2015 draft. So both players cut. Broadbent, you know, pretty significant player at that footy club. 29-year-old, 171 games in his career. He was a mainstay in that back line for so long. So they'll be on the lookout now for another AFL club, and they'll probably have a few weeks post the period, post the trade period, to see if they can get picked up as the listed free agent. That's all the news. Thanks to Beaumont Tiles. Get rid of ugly with Beaumont Tiles. We'll head back to the Westmix open line. James is in Leopold. Good evening, James.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us.
I was just wondering what you think Collingwood's chances are of picking up Josh Jenkins.
I would have said if Jamie Elliott left and left a little bit more in that cap, it would have been more likely than it is now. I just can't see how Collingwood can fit him in, dependent on how much of the contract the Crows pay. So as I see it right now, I reckon the Crows are willing to pay $200,000, maybe even up to $300,000 of his $500,000 or so that's left on the 2 years, for each of the 2 years at the Crows. But he would be a good fit for mine at the Pies, but I just think the cap might be the issue at Collingwood. What do you make of it, Pies fans? 1300 736 736. Matt's joined us in Brisbane, wants to chat about a big ruckman. Good evening, Matt.
G'day, Mitch. Just on Sam Jacobs there. Free agency has come and gone. He didn't end up at the Giants. Didn't think that would happen because of the Tomlinson free agency pick. The Giants didn't want to forfeit or dilute. So, look, I know for most clubs, if they were going after Sauce, it'd be like a straight swap for a later pick. But just where the Giants are, as far as I can see it, is Sam, he looks like being the only gettable ruckman that they can afford from a salary cap perspective, who might draw even with Nat Nui, Grundy and Gawn in the finals next year. That has to increase his value, surely, to a club like the Giants. Could he be brought in to a deal you know, involved in the swap of picks 4 and 6, I think might happen between the two clubs, or, you know, a bidding war might happen between them on draft night for Tom Green if that doesn't go down. Mm. So could he be involved in that trade at the higher end?
It's a good point. One thing I can tell you is a lot of clubs do deals where it's not written in officially, but it's like, we won't bid on your academy player. So just this is purely as an example for this year. The Crows could walk Sam Jacobs to the Giants and get a decent pick, say in the 40s or 50s, which would be a big asset for the Crows in them trying to do a bit in this year's draft. And they could say to the Giants, if you do this deal and you help us out with the Jacobs deal, we won't bid on your player Tom Green come draft night. That's just one example. This has happened before. Various clubs have done it. So that could be one consideration. The other one is the Giants are still keen to move up the order. So they've got pick 6 today after that swap they engaged in with St Kilda. Maybe Sam Jacobs could form part of a deal. So you could go 4 from the Crows, you know, a pick in the, you know, and for Jacobs for 6 and say a pick in the 20s or 30s. These are just things I'm raising, but it's an interesting point you raise, Matt, and maybe it's something for both parties to consider. But he will get to the Giants, as you mentioned. The reason it hasn't gone through as a free agency deal is because the Giants didn't want to bring in Jacobs and then dilute the deal they were going to get for Tomlinson, which is currently pick 40. So a bit of manoeuvring to go on, but Sam Jacobs will be in the orange next year for the Giants. Thanks for your call. Alex is in Colac. Good evening, Alex.
G'day. Just like to start off by saying thanks for being a part of Time on Trade. I really like your perspective on things and how you really get down to the crux of it. Nice straight shooter. So I was wondering if you could straight shoot this one for me. I'm really wondering why it was a sure thing about 3 or 4 days ago that Jack Stephen was coming to Geelong.
Mm.
And I really see him as a great replacement. I know Nicky Dale said, you know, 75% of Jack Stephen, you know, he's a good sort of replacement for Tim Kelly. I believe he's definitely an X-factor player. I think he'd be great for the Cats. And if the St Kilda are willing to pay some of his wage, I see it as a no-brainer to give up a pick in the 30s for a paid superstar.
Thanks for your call, Alex, and I'll send the chocolates later. Appreciate the pump up. Just on Jack Stephen, so as I read it on Monday night when we spoke about the Tim Kelly trade, was that the 37 that the Cats were going to end up with was going to form part of the Jack Stephen discussion, and that by Geelong giving up more in terms of a value, being a second-round pick compared to the earlier discussions on a third-round pick, meant the Saints were going to pay some of his wage. The other part of this is the Saints have got so much to work through in terms of their own picks and their trade targets that they may want even more than that. So it's a matter of whether Geelong, say, 37 and maybe a future third rounder to help the Saints work through a few other deals. I'm sure that's what the holdup has been, but there's definitely been a conversation between Geelong and St Kilda about the Saints paying a portion of his wage, which is pretty healthy next year for the final year of his deal at Moorabbin. This is Stephen Wells speaking of Footy Feed a little earlier in the week about Jack Stephen.
Nothing has really changed there in that we've met with St Kilda again today and talking to them. There's every probability, I would have thought, that Jack Stephen will be staying at St Kilda. They've got a good player there who had a tough year. Under the right circumstances, would be happy to take Jack on down at Geelong, but we might not be able to come to a deal there.
I wouldn't read too much into that on Stephen Wells. He also spoke about last week here on Trade Radio talking about them not really wanting to do a deal with Tim Kelly, and they came around and did a pretty win-win deal with the Eagles. So I'm not reading too much into that from Stephen Wells just yet. If he's saying that with 2 or 3 days to go, then maybe my ears might prick up a bit more, but still a bit to work through on the Jack Stephen one. I think he still does get to the Cats, Alex. So thanks for your call. Richard is in Berwick. Good evening, Richard.
G'day, mate. How are you going?
I'm well, thank you.
Very good. Just a couple of questions. I just wanted to know what your thoughts would be on if the Bombers would benefit from Tom Papley being in the side, first of all, with Orazio and Tipamudi and those types of guys in the forward line.
They would. Every side would benefit with Tom Papley. I just don't think he's a player of interest for Essendon right now. I think the deal will happen with Carlton, and then you've got North Melbourne and the club waiting in the wings on that one. you want to continue chatting about the Bombers?
Yeah, I did. And just on GWS, I know Aidan Bonner. I've sort of looked him up and looked at a couple of clips on him on YouTube and whatnot, and he seems sort of that inside bull that the Bombers might need. Yep. But if you've heard anything on that as well.
Yeah, I haven't heard them link directly to Aidan Bonner, but I think he'd be the prototype player they should target. You look at the Essendon midfield, you've got Zach Merritt, Devon Smith, Dylan Shield. They're not massive bodies. And last year, the Bombers went after Will Setterfield, who ended up at Carlton. I think they're after that big-bodied midfielder at the Bombers to help out some of these smaller guys. Bonner does fit that bill. The only reason I think clubs, and he's been on the table all year, Aidan Bonner, because he's got such heavy money tied to his next two seasons at the Giants. They're more than happy to move him on. He's keen to get back to Victoria. I think there just needs to be a right suitor for him. The reason why the interest may have cooled is I don't think he developed and came on as much as a few clubs would have liked in season 2019. So former pick 11, high wraps on him, had a couple of knees coming through his junior days. But, yeah, I'm still thinking he could move, but I just don't think the interest has been significant enough. On that, if he was to move the Giants, I don't think the Giants would put up too much of a fight. I think they'd be more than happy to let him walk reasonably cheaply because there's so much money tied up in his next two seasons. Thanks for your call. Tarnish next in Point Cook wants to chat about that pick swap today. Good evening.
Hey, Mitch. Just wanted to ask, what do you think about the Saints pick swap with GWS will mean for the Brad Hill trade?
So as it stands right now, St Kilda give up 6, which had been on the table for Bradley Hill. So 6 and 59, they bring in 12 and 18. I reckon that, just on the surface, is a win for the Giants. In my opinion, it's going to make it harder for the deal to go through with Bradley Hill and Fremantle. That's just my opinion on it. I'm sure the Saints will have other plans with what they do with 12 and 18. One theory I can see how this plays out from here, I could see a way where the Saints go 12 and a future first or second for Bradley Hill and then use 18 for Dougal Howard. But that might leave it a bit tougher to bring in Zach Jones, Paddy Ryder. They're also still into Dan Butler. So the Saints have got to be very careful with what they do with those two picks because it's going to be a big ask to see them bring in all four targets that have nominated as it sits. Bradley Hill, Zach Jones, Paddy Ryder and Dougal Howard from the Power. Thanks for your call. Marshall's next in Brighton. Good evening. Marshall's gone. Wanted to chat about Bradley Hill and that $1 million deal. We might get back to you shortly, Marshall. Jesse next in Northcote. Good evening.
Hey, mate. I'm just wondering, is there any news on the Adelaide Crows coach? Because it's hard for them to sort of deal in the trade if no one really knows who's going to be leading them next year.
I saw the Adelaide Advertiser today, Jesse Noah, discussing Robert Harvey, having had an interview. So that's the name that's sort of come from left field. I know they've spoken to quite a few candidates. I think they wanted to keep it at 4 or 5 originally at the Crows, but it's ballooned to maybe 8 to 10. The favourite for me as it sits still is Matthew Nix. So many years at Port Adelaide, went to this season as a Giants senior assistant under Leon Cameron. He's my favourite right now, but we're still yet to get any concrete info. So keeping our fingers on it for you, but still yet to get any significant update on that one. But if I was to say right now, I'd think Matthew Nix would be getting the job. One more quick call before a break. Mike's in Brisbane. Good evening, Mike.
How you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Yeah, just wanting your thoughts. I've been thinking about the Bombers, and there's, to me, that with Hurley and Hooker and these guys, there's kind of their window the next 2 or 3 years before those guys retire. I just wonder if they should throw the whole kitchen sink at Brody Grundy. And if Danaher goes, then they could play Grundy, Bell Chambers, Draper, these guys coming through. They could play two ruckmen, and one can play the forward one, and then Grundy is your long-term ruckman. And they could look at Langdon and Cutler as for midfield as well. But I just wonder if Grundy would fill a hole for the next 7 years.
He would, absolutely. Tom Bell Chambers is probably only got a year or two of footy left in him. That's why the Bombers were so committed and keen to get Sam Draper's signature for the next 3 years. They are looking for more ruck depth, more in terms of Andrew Phillips, who they've met with from Carlton. Zach Smith had been on their radar from Geelong. So they're definitely looking to top up in the rucks. You wouldn't pass up the chance for Grundy. I think if Collingwood aren't going to offer the 7 years, another club would. So whether that be a Carlton that Damien Barrett raised this morning, Essendon, you're going to have to pay 7 years to get him out of Collingwood. I don't think it's happening this season, but it's one to definitely monitor and something that the Essendon Footy Club should consider because, as you mentioned, Bol Chambers doesn't have a great deal of footy left in him beyond this next couple of years. Thanks for your call, Mike. 1300 736 736 to get involved. Bring you some news after the break as well. We'll keep you posted here on Time on Trade. Plenty unfolding on day four of the Telstra trade period.
You're listening to Time on Trade.
You don't?
You're listening to Time on Trade with Mitch Cleary.
We've got a close relationship with Josh. How do you read his situation at Adelaide where he's contracted, clearly not wanted there and perhaps not a lot of love coming from the other clubs? You got a thought on it?
Yeah, it's a bit bemusing for mine, to be honest. And I'm a little bit biased because...
I must say I'm the same. But
I'm good mates with him, but I try and remove that hat. I just look at his form when he has played. I think he has a lot to offer AFL level. He's a goal kicker. At the end of the day, and I'm a bit biased, came with the way that I play, you've still got to kick a winning score to win games.
Yeah.
You've never seen a team, you know, win a game without scoring more than the opposition. And he hits the scoreboard. He's a good contested mark. And he's a really intelligent player. I think quite often, you know, we look at players for what they can't do rather than what they can do. So I'd hope that, you know, he'll find somewhere to play because I think a team would really benefit from him.
Right, you're the president of the AFL.
Josh Jenkins there. Is there a future for him beyond 2020? 1300 736 736. Have your say. Could your club benefit with Josh Jenkins? So 22 goals this season from 11 games. Really interrupted year for Josh Jenkins. A lot of the year in the sandful, a couple of injury niggles. But he's 5 years before that, 46 goals, 45, 62 back in 2016, 46 and 40. He's a proven goal kicker. Which clubs could do with Josh Jenkins in their front half? 1300 736 736. Have your say. Mark's joined us in New South Wales. Wants to chat about that man, Aidan Bonner. Mark?
Yeah, hi. I'm just wondering, with Aidan Bonner, I was wondering which Melbourne club may need someone like him in their lineup because I think if he wants to go, then, you know, because I'm thinking also about the points because the Giants need to be still gathering points. Just wondering which club, or would it be useful for the Giants to try to convince him to go to or Adelaide, maybe go to Adelaide or something, so that way they could do something regards Jacobs and pick four. I'm just wondering what possibilities of those things would be.
The Crows wouldn't be the worst fit. They're looking for that type of player in that age demographic, early 20s. If I was to list the three Melbourne clubs that would need Aidan Bonner most in order of importance, I'd go one Essendon, two North Melbourne, and three Hawthorn. All three clubs need midfield depth. I just think Essendon would be the most logical because of that need for that big-bodied inside midfielder. But do they want to absorb 2 years at around $400,000 to $450,000 for both for Aidan Bonner? It's a big ask for a club to bite off that much of his salary. Thanks, Mark. Chris is next in Berwick. Good evening, Chris.
G'day, mate. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Very quickly on Carlton, three quick things. Has Levi Casbolt been signed for a further year?
Well, he's hit a trigger on his contract, so he's got one to run. He wants two. So he's gettable if a club wants to come for 2 years with Levi Casbolt.
Well, it'd be crazy if they didn't. Secondly, I mean, Carlton and Eddie Betts appear to have agreed with their rival clubs. Why don't they announce it?
I think it might have to do with the marketing. They're probably waiting to get Eddie in Melbourne for a photo shoot and get his polo. These are the things that tend to hold these things up, Chris. But as has been widely reported, it's going to be a pick in the 40s for Eddie Betts. The Crows pay a bit of his contract. That one just happens. I think we're waiting now just to see Eddie get unveiled. So probably that's what the hold-up has been. Thanks for your call. James next in Caulfield. James?
Hey, Mitch, has Bunnell been linked with any clubs? Has his agent come out and said anything?
His agent's come out and said he's had conversations with three or four clubs. Harley was in Melbourne this week, meeting with his surgeon that he's had a couple of operations with for those calves. So they believe that Harley will be back up and running by January. Doesn't give him much time to get fit for a new club. So that might be putting a few clubs off any interest. One club that we have linked at afl.com.au to Harley Bennell are the Sydney Swans. So watch that one unfold to see if there's any further interest. But a Harley Bennell move wouldn't happen now. It would be after the trade period because he's been delisted by the Dockers. So a club wouldn't need to give up anything for him. He would be a delisted free agent. Thanks, James. I'll go next to Seb in Essendon. Wants to talk about the spearhead at the Bombers. Good evening, Seb.
Hey, Mitch. How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
Hey, so I'm just wondering, around the Danaher trade, what are the chances that he stays on next year at Essendon? But if not, what do you honestly think will be the fantasy trade? Like, will 5 and 9 get it done, or does Sydney not really want to give that up?
I think that's way too much for Joe Danaher personally. 5 and 9, it'll be one of those picks, provided they get 9 in for Tom Papley. We've been saying it for some time now that he's a free agent next year, Joe Danaher. So I know the Bombers will have the ability to match it because he's restricted, but I just think 5 and 9 is way too much when in 12 months from now, Sydney could come with a massive offer and try and lure him out of the Bombers. Every chance this one doesn't get done. This is Adrian Dodoro speaking earlier in the week about his spearhead forward.
It's not about the club, it's not about the people, it's not about our medical department, as was reported.
Yep.
It was purely that he sees a change of lifestyle as something that was enticing for him.
They're going to dig their heels in, the Bombers. 1300 736 736. Give us your take on Joe Danaher. A quick break, more of your calls on the other side of it for Westmix. Those in the know Westmix is the go.
You're listening to Time on Trade. You're listening to Time on Trade with Mitch Cleary. A trade news update for Tintacar. Tintacar, darkest legal now from $295.
Big pick swap today. The Saints, they've moved out pick 6. They've brought in 12 and 18. So a bit to work through for the Saints now with 12 and 18 in their keeping and how they can get that deal for Bradley Hill done. Reported by Mark McGowan on AFL.com.au today, there'd been a bit of a stalemate at the start of the week. The Dockers, they wanted pick 6 and another first-round pick for next year. That was denied. So the Saints said, all right, you want that? We're going to go and split 12 and 18. So that is becoming one of the more fascinating deals now, how St Kilda and Fremantle are going to come to terms on a deal for Bradley Hill. Just elsewhere, Orazio Fantasia, he's staying at the Bombers, staying. He decided, had long chats with a few people, changed managers who was based in South Australia, Michael Dowdy, but he's staying at the Bombers and will see out next year. He's got 2 years to run, not giving up on him leaving for this time next year by any stretch. Port Adelaide, they've announced 2 delistings this afternoon. Matt Broadbent, one of their mainstays across halfback for so long, 171 games. The 29-year-old told his time was up at the Power. And Aidan Johnson, the small forward slash wingman, 21-year-old, played 11 games. So both Broadbent and Aidan Johnson have been cut. Grant Birchall, officially a Hawk. Here's David Noble, the head of footy at the Lions. Sorry, officially a Hawk. He was a Hawk. He won 4 flags at that club. He's officially a Lion now. He's going to chase his 5th up in the sunshine. Here's the head of footy at the Lions, David Noble, speaking about his body and whether the chances of that stacking up for 2020.
So 8 games in the last, 3 season, Nobe. So clearly his body has been an issue for him. What did your medical team look at and how did they assess him?
The main one we looked at was the last sort of the more recent soft tissue stuff, and then the PCL was the main one. And we felt that the assessment of his PCL was really solid, so it had no issue with that. And then probably just the soft tissue seemed to be a little bit from, hip to hammy to calf to groin, was more sort of just him trying to get up and going and maybe not having that, pre-season under his belt. Certainly felt that it was something, our guys felt something that they could manage at his age. We had a really good record this year, or last couple of years, with Hodgie in particular, managing, an older guy's body. And then obviously Link McCarthy this year was another one that we did quite well with. So we'll just be patient and diligent, and he's in a good spot at the moment because he's able to train, virtually straight away now. He doesn't have any further surgery or any other ailments at the moment.
Poor Grant Birchall, he's going up to the Lions. He wants a fresh start. He's going to be compared to Luke Hodge. He's not going to be able to live up to those standards. But if he can get 12, 15 games out of his body next year, that'd be a big help for the Lions in their quest for a flag and see if they can take a couple more steps on what they delivered in 2019. Pick 14, 2005 draft. He turns 32 in January, Grant Birchall. 248 games. He is an All-Australian. And most importantly on that resume, he's got four flags to his name. Imagine five. I think Dermy's a five-time premiership player. Grant Birchall could join the illustrious group of Hawks from previous decades. What do you make of it? 1-300-736-736. We'll go back to the Westmix open line. Blackie's joined us in plenty. Good evening, Blackie.
G'day, Mitch. How are you, buddy?
I'm well, thanks.
Hey, Eddie Betts. Now, I think people probably have to know the circumstances of why Carlton. Yes, you know, next year, maybe the year after on the field, but I reckon what he's going to give Carlton off the field will far outweigh what he's able to do. And I'll give you two examples, Mitch. Carlton have just delisted three Aboriginal boys who all struggled to cope outside of the footy club. And, you know, a couple of them in Pickett and LeBoyce were injured and, you know, stuck at home. So Eddie and his family would have helped in that situation. But the other most important factor is one of Carlton's zones is the northern suburbs of Melbourne. Now, if you live in the northern suburbs of Melbourne from places like Collingwood, Fitzroy, Thornbury, Northcote, it has a large Indigenous population. And the Northern Knights have started to see a couple of Indigenous boys come through. There's no doubt Carlton will use Eddie as a mentor and as a role model in that space to inspire young Aboriginal boys and girls to play footy. And obviously Carlton, on the boys' side at least, has a benefit where, you know, if a boy's good enough, Carlton can have first dibs on him. So, you know, Eddie will be at Carlton for a long time simply because of his status for, you know, his people, Indigenous people.
Thanks for that point, Blackie. I think it's a really well-made one. So the other one that you didn't mention, but Jack Martin, the Blues bringing in Jack Martin. I think Eddie Betts is going to play a big role in his leadership and in his commitment to the footy club. Jack Martin has shown glimpses on the Gold Coast, but with some support around him and Eddie Betts being critical to that, I reckon he could really flourish at the Blues next year. You mentioned all the off-field things. Not to mention, they're probably going to sell 5,000 extra memberships with Eddie Betts when he's unveiled in the number 19. Angus Shoemaker played one game late in the year. He wore number 19. He's been delisted. So Eddie Betts, I'd be shocked if he doesn't come back in the 19 and they'll fly off the shelves in the Blues shop once that gets announced. Thanks for your call, Blackie. Damien's next in Coburg North. Good evening, Damien.
How are you, Mitch?
Well, thanks.
I heard a couple of rumours today about Paddy Ryder circling the Carlton facilities. Any truth to that, Mitch?
Not that I'm aware of, Damien. They are on the lookout for another ruckman. Mark Pitney has been linked to the Blues by Riley Beveridge on AFL.com.au. We know that Andrew Phillips has only been offered a one-year deal. Matthew Lobe was delisted. So right now, the only guarantee in the Blues ruck division for next year is Matthew Cruiser. So bits of work through. We'll see what they've got for next year. But Matthew Cruiser right now, maybe Andrew Phillips. The Blues do need another ruckman. I don't think Paddy Ryder is going to be that guy. I think maybe we heard that one's come out. There's a medical clinic at the Blues, so that's maybe why Paddy Ryder was seen down there. We'll have a look at the power trade for Makita's cordless power garden range, the landscaper's choice. All eyes now on the Freo and St Kilda deal. It broke down yesterday. Looking forward to seeing when they next catch up. That's going to be fascinating to see that one unfold over the next 6 days. That's all thanks to Makita's cordless power garden range, the world's largest range. Over 200 tools on one battery. Plenty more trades to discuss. We'll keep you posted. Keep tuning in to Telstra Trade Radio. Plenty more to come tomorrow. Heaps of deals to come. We'll speak to you then.
You're listening to Time on Trade.
You don't need